In 2012, Mr. Peterson, you co-wrote a report on the impact of climate change on forest ecosystems, and it has some sobering warning. I want to just read a sentence from that report that sums up, I think, what the report says. And it says, quote, "Wildfires, insect infestations, pulses of erosion and flooding, and drought-induced tree mortality are all expected to increase during the 21st century." Dire news, isn't it?
That does sound kind of dire, and of course, we already do have some effects of those, and we always have for thousands of years, but we anticipate that their frequency and severity will probably increase during the next several decades.
It has always been happening, but really, it's accelerated, right?
It seems to be accelerating in some parts of North America now, and usually these big fires, big insect outbreaks are triggered by periods of climate that are exceptionally warm. So these are rare events, but it's those rare and extreme events that will probably kick us into this period of more ecological disturbance.
And become less rare?
They will probably become less rare in the future. We can't predict these things, but it's almost certain that it will happen.
The report also says that wildfire acreage will double in this century in the western U.S.
Yes, we anticipate that that's a conservative projection of what we'll see by about mid-century. And, of course, it's not rocket science to think about the fact that if it gets warmer and drier, that we'll have more fires and bigger fires. And we can tell that because if we look at the historical record, when we have warmer, drier periods, we know how much more fire we have. So we're just projecting that window from the past into the future. And that is what we expect, at least twice as much area burned each year.
The insect infestation, as you said, will get worse. And there will be changes in tree species, too. For example, Doug fir are expected to disappear, and pine as well.
Well, we don't know if they'll disappear, but I think all of our tree species and other plant species will change their distribution and abundance somewhat. It's difficult to actually predict that as to what will happen where. But that will change as we get more of these disturbances. Because if you think about it, a big insect attack or a big fire essentially clears the slate. So then the question becomes, what will regenerate and establish in that point in the landscape after the disturbance?
One of the biggest and probably most dramatic changes in terms of impact on humans is going to be the ongoing drought in some parts of the West. And we're already seeing, obviously, the impacts in California and somewhat in Colorado. And that will be something that is also going to happen on a dramatic scale, right? Less water, period.
Right. And if you think about it, most of the Western U.S. is dry. We have dry summers. We often have water shortages even in sort of an average year. And in some cases, we've overallocated our water supplies to different uses. So if we have more droughts and longer droughts in the future, that's going to stress that system to the max and will really have some social and economic implications.
And another impact is less carbon storage because of the forests changing, because the forests right now are absorbing, I think, about 13% of fossil fuel emissions. That's going to decline.
That's right. The forests do a great service for us by absorbing all that carbon that we emit. But if we have more of these disturbances, it's going to be more difficult to maintain older forests. Right now, we're doing a pretty good job of regrowing many of the forests that we cut during the past century. And so we're kind of catching up on that. But that will probably decline in the future, not just here in the Rockies, but also throughout the United States.
Part of your job, isn't it, Mr. Peterson, is to advise forest managers on what they should be doing about all this. And one of your suggestions, in terms of wildfire anyway, is to do more forest thinning and that kind of thing. But you also, in the report, recognize that the funding for such things is being diverted to fighting the impacts, for example, fighting fire and so on. There's a catch-22, isn't there?
Well, you're right, first of all. We do work a lot with our resource managers on what should we do to prepare for this warmer climate. And one of the best things we can do is keep our forests healthy, keep them vigorous, and the notion of doing more thinning and removal of hazardous fuels will reduce the severity of fires when we have them. We can't stop fires, but we can change the nature of those fires by reducing their intensity. And you're also right, we don't have anywhere near the resources that are necessary to do a good job across a very, very large landscape. So we have an awful lot to do, but not really enough money to do that.
There is, of course, a new proposal by the administration to take firefighting money from natural disaster funds, for example, funds that are now spent on hurricanes and that kind of thing, instead of taking it out of the Forest Service budget, per se.
Yes.
You'd be in favor of that, I assume.
I think that would help things quite a bit, because then we wouldn't have the prospect of this sort of battle between what you could do to mitigate the fuels conditions versus fire suppression. So if we can get some clarity on that, I do think it would help.
In terms of adapting to these changes, it's going to be, correct me if I'm wrong, but more a case of we adapt to what happens versus we prevent what happens. And it's going to be a case of not knowing, in some cases, exactly what's going to happen. It's very hard to predict, isn't it?
It's extremely hard to predict. And there are some things that we know better than others. For example, we know quite a bit about hydrology in the Rockies and other areas, and we know that snowpack has been declining over the last 50 to 60 years. And that's easier to work with from kind of a quantitative perspective. Things like vegetation change are much less certain and much more difficult to predict. So it's very challenging for our forest managers to deal with this high level of uncertainty, but still have the expectation that they do something about it.
The time frame is also hard to predict, too. It does seem like all the predictions that have come in the last 10 to 20 years about climate change impacts have sped up, have happened
yes.
faster than the scientists expected.
Yes. No, that's exactly right. You know, emissions are not slowing down. So even if we stopped emissions today, we'd still have to live with this situation for probably another 200-300 years or so. So my response to that is, let's get started. You know, let's not anguish over it or argue about it too much. We know there are some things we can do that would be good ways to manage the land. And so we should start now so we don't preclude future options that might be available to us.
Frustrating if policymakers don't agree with that approach, isn't it, for a scientist?
Well, there is some frustration there, but I think also it's we as scientists have the responsibility to lay out some good options for policy and for decision makers so that we don't get stuck in this kind of whirlpool of uncertainty, because we really do know a lot about forests. We know a lot about ecology. We know a lot about fire and insects, and so we should use that knowledge to the best of our ability. We know what will happen if we don't do anything.
And it doesn't really do any good to just say the sky is falling.
That's not my attitude, because I feel like I want a better world for my daughter and for future generations, and so I have a responsibility to do something about that.
Well, I have been speaking with David Peterson, who's a research scientist with the Pacific Wildland Fire Sciences Laboratory in Seattle. His expertise is fire ecology and climate change. Mr. Peterson, thank you so much.
You're very welcome.